You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. You could build a tiny house in your yard if you have one. And if you sold your home for more than $1 million, you'd pay extra taxes. Those are just two measures in Governor Healey's new massive housing bond bill. And the goal of the whole thing? Solve the state's housing shortage. Question is, will it work? So sticking around for this conversation, Chris Dempsey, who was with us to talk tea. Also joining us, Catherine Carlock, real estate and development reporter for the Boston Globe, and Mark Drazen, executive director of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, or MAPC. Catherine, good have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, great to have you here in studio too.
Glad to be here.
And Chris Dempsey, thanks for staying with us.
Of course.
So the three big things I want to make sure that we hit here in this housing bond bill, which is designed to ease our housing shortage, are really this accessory dwelling unit, right? The possibility of taxes and this thing around, you know, what you can build near transit. All right. So the real-time median rent in Boston is about $3,300, according to Zillow. Catherine, why does Maura Healey want to put these pieces and other pieces in place that could conceivably create 40,000 new units? Talk about the level of pressure she's under.
Well, housing has been a top priority for this administration, and just is it is. It's all. It's difficult to overstate how important housing is to the Commonwealth and just to our economic viability as a state. You know, the Globe this week has just put out a spotlight series on the housing crisis, and it says that in Massachusetts, for every three jobs that have been added, there's just been one housing unit added. So we have over the past few decades. So we have. So many people looking to come here, but they just can't find a place to live. And it's reached crisis levels in almost every community.
So, Mark Drazen, it's a huge bill, more than $4 billion, lots of things in it. We've picked a couple things to focus on here. I called it the tiny house. It's actually an accessory dwelling unit. Some people call it maybe an in-law suite. Why this? Why is this a big deal?
Because it's a relatively straightforward way to increase the housing supply. You don't have to build a 60 or 100 or a 200 unit development to add an accessory dwelling unit. You do them one at a time in a lot of places. They're small. They're not obtrusive. They give senior citizens the opportunity to maybe have someone younger living in the house who can, you know, maybe mow the lawn and shovel the snow. Or you give a younger family the opportunity to keep their in-laws or grandmother with them in the same house, or at least on the same lot. We see accessory dwelling units being used and developed throughout the country. Most localities or counties don't restrict accessory dwelling units around America.
But they do.
But a lot of them do here. There's really no reason for it, no good reason for it, and it's a relatively straightforward and easy way to increase the housing supply. It won't solve the problem on its own, but it's a very good idea.
I'll note that actually Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, sort of on her public tour this week, right, in her public appearances, one of the things she did was actually go to one of these to kind of highlight what an important piece of the strategy is. I'll turn to you here, Chris Dempsey, former Assistant Transportation Secretary here in the Commonwealth. One key piece of this is removing parking minimums for construction, including for accessory dwelling units, within a certain, you know, half a mile of what would be considered a transit station. That's kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah, it's sort of a big deal, but it should be a no-brainer. And this is a policy that has been adopted in communities and in states around the country. Look, what this is saying is not that you can't have parking. It's just saying that you don't have to require parking. Let's use the example that Mark just mentioned of, a grandmother moving in next to a young family. They may have one car for three adults, and that's okay because that's all that they really need. Some of our parking requirements in these communities would require, if you build this tiny house, two additional parking spaces. So all of a sudden you have two parking spaces that aren't needed, but that have to be produced in conjunction with this housing. What that does is it makes some of these projects infeasible or impractical.
And that's the point. And
that's the intent.
Yeah, in many cases, it's a way to slow down development without saying we're slowing down development. So bravo to the administration for identifying that as an unnecessary hurdle to this. It doesn't make our communities better. It doesn't help with our transportation problems. Arguably, it makes them worse by increasing the number of cars that people own. So it makes all the sense in the world to eliminate this across cities and towns in Massachusetts.
We're talking about Governor Maura Healey's new housing bond bill with Chris Dempsey, Mark Drazen, and Catherine Carlock. So quickly on this, Catherine Carlock of the Boston Globe, who doesn't like the accessory dwelling unit part and why?
Well, there are a number of localities that have pushed back on ADUs because of either, you know, losing views, losing, you know, creating more density, concerns about creating more traffic. I've been out to a number of community meetings of late where in the city of Boston, where the Boston Planning and Development Agency has been trying to suggest ADUs in certain neighborhoods. And a lot of people have some concerns about it because it would bring more property to neighborhoods that they think are already pretty overdeveloped. So you may get some pushback, but it's as Chris and Mark have said, it's a pretty simple way to add housing stock pretty quickly.
So Mark Drazen, I'll turn to you now. I want to talk about taxation. Again, we had Boston Mayor Michelle Wu here on the show on Wednesday. One of the things that I asked her about was sort of the fate of her various home rule petitions, right, this year with the Massachusetts legislature, one of which was a 2% tax on real estate sales above a certain amount. Now it appears in this bond bill, right?
Yes.
Allowing cities and towns to charge anywhere from 0.5% to 2% on quote unquote high value real estate transactions. And I say quote unquote because real estate is so expensive in Massachusetts. Just give us the quick rundown.
Well, real estate is expensive in Massachusetts, but the vast, vast majority of single family homeowners are still not selling their properties for more than $1 million. Maybe we'll get there someday.
That's the threshold in this housing bond.
That's the threshold, basically.
Okay. So,
you know, it's basically saying we should tax very high property commercial or residential sales to get a little money back for affordable housing. And I think that's a good idea. I think Governor Healey is basically saying that's not only a good idea for Boston and for the dozen other communities that have filed similar home rule petitions that are also stuck on Beacon Hill. It's a good idea for any community that wants to opt into it. You don't have to do it, but any community should be able to opt into it. And I think that's a great idea.
So the other piece that is intriguing about that, Mark Drazen, and I'll turn to you on this, Chris Dempsey, is the dozens of other cities and towns who have filed home rule petitions. It is this weird architecture that we have on how things get passed here in the Commonwealth, that you can't do it on your own. This would eliminate that, Chris Dempsey,
yeah,
yes?
And I think that's a good idea, and we should be looking for more ways to do that. As you're saying, Tiziana, the ability for a municipality, a city or town, to tax only derives from the powers that the state has given it. It doesn't have any independent ability to do that. And so the state historically is really limited the ways that a city or town can raise revenue. It's part of the reason we're so reliant on property taxes in our cities and towns. This is creating a new tool in the toolbox if a community chooses to adopt it. No community is required to do this. It just gives them the option. And I think that's a good idea for lots of different potential revenue ideas. Now look, our cities and towns, there's 351 across the state. They vary dramatically in the ways that they look, the ways that they feel, the types of things that they want for their future of their community. So why have only a limited number of tools to provide to those municipalities? Let's provide them lots of different options and let them choose the best future.
So, Catherine Carlock, now let me turn to you because in our remaining time, give me just a little bit on what Maura Healey also has in this, you know, $4 billion plus bill around public housing, because this is interesting too. Well, what does she want to do there?
Sure. So in this bill, there's $1.6 billion for public housing rehabilitation, which is just a huge number. You'll recall back in 2018, the entire housing bond bill was $1.8 billion. So for this, for just a portion of this current bond bill to be for public housing really shows that the administration is really keenly focused on bringing these 43,000 public housing units across the Commonwealth up to scratch. You know, a lot of them are uninhabitable. A lot of them are, you know, they are date back to the mid-20th century and are just really in various states of disrepair. So a $1.6 billion would be the largest investment of these public housing units since they were built. It includes $150 million to decarbonize these public housing units, which is a big, you know, a big step up for the state to say, if we're going to meet our energy reduction and emissions goals, then we need to put our money where our mouth is.
So, and I'll just note for listeners, we learned from WBUR's own Todd Wallach when he was on telling us about his investigation of vacant state-owned public housing units. We're a little unusual here in Massachusetts in having state-owned public housing units.
Yes, we are. Massachusetts, New York, only a couple of other states have their own public housing program. But the state's public housing units are a very, very important resource of affordable housing for low-income people, for people with disabilities, and also in many of our suburban communities for senior citizens, for low-income seniors. So it's critically important that we get them rehabbed, make sure they're all inhabited, and maybe even build some new ones, because we can do that. I think the decarbonization commitment is very important here. If we're ever going to meet our climate goals, which have been set by the legislature, they're in statute, we have to deal not only with new buildings, but existing buildings. Most of the buildings that will be here in 2050 are already here. And really, I applaud the administration for putting $150 million in to decarbonize public housing. We have many other bills coming up in the legislature over the course of the next several months: economic development, municipal modernization, environmental bond bill. We should be putting money for decarbonization in each and every one of those for the relevant part of the existing building sector.
All right. That's Mark Drazen, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. Also with us, Catherine Carlock of the Boston Globe, and Chris Dempsey, former Massachusetts Assistant Transportation Secretary. Thanks to all three of you.
So great to be with you.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Thanks.